surface of the river is tamed and chastened now. Barges filled with wheat and wood float slack water now. Beneath the placid waters, hear the roaring of the falls. Salmon leaping rapids in the springtime and the fall. River speaks to those who hear with open hearts and ears. The river cannot tell its tale to those who do not hear. Underground through culverts of our soul. As the wind blows through my mind, ancient memories unfold.
You are tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we're exploring the difference between giving in and giving up, and why learning to tell the difference might be the very thing that keeps you moving forward instead of quietly walking away. Have you ever been at that moment where you're exhausted, frustrated, maybe even embarrassed to admit how much effort you've put in? And you're asking yourself, do I keep going or do I stop? Not because you don't care, but because you care so much that you don't want to waste any more energy if this isn't going to work. I think this is one of the hardest decisions we face, and it's not because we lack grit or discipline. It's because most of us were taught to think about effort in a very black and white term. You either push through or you quit. You either succeed or you fail. You either stay the course or you give up. There's not much space in that thinking for nuance, not much room for learning, and definitely not much room for the messy middle where most real growth actually happens. What often gets lost is the idea that modifying your approach is not the same thing as abandoning your goal, that giving in to reality is not the same thing as giving up on yourself. Today, I want to slow this conversation way down. I want to talk about momentum, motivation, and that in-between space where you're still committed, but you're also willing to change how you get there. Because the middle space is where a lot of people quietly give up. Not because they should, but because they don't know there's another option. Let's untangle these two ideas, because they sound similar, but they come from very different places. Giving up is usually driven by discouragement. It's the moment when effort stops feeling meaningful, when the costs feel higher than the potential reward. Often it carries a layer of shame or self-judgment, even if we don't say that part out loud. Giving in, on the other hand, is about adjustment. It's about listening. It's about acknowledging that what you're doing right now isn't producing the results you hope for, and being willing to change course without labeling yourself as a failure. The trouble is, many of us were praised for endurance, not discernment. We were taught to stick it out and push through and never quit without much guidance on how to tell the difference between perseverance and stubbornness. So we keep forcing approaches that drain us. We double down on strategies that aren't working. And when we finally stop, we assume we failed. But the real progress rarely looks like relentless forward motion. It looks like stop, start, adjust, reflect, and try again. Giving in doesn't mean lowering your standards. It means letting go of your attachment to how you thought success was supposed to happen. That distinction alone can change everything. There's a cognitive pattern called all-or-nothing thinking, where we evaluate outcomes in extremes. Something either works perfectly or it doesn't work at all. There's no room for partial success, learning curves, or progress that's still unfolding. This kind of thinking is especially dangerous for long-term goals because most meaningful things don't offer immediate payoff. In innovation, entrepreneurship, and learning theory, failure isn't treated as a final judgment. It's treated as data, feedback, information that tells you what to adjust next. And this is where my father-in-law's phrase fits so perfectly. He says, you can't get skunked too many times until you lose the magic. That line holds so much wisdom because motivation doesn't thrive on blind faith alone. It thrives on evidence, on seeing something move even slightly, on knowing your effort is connected to something tangible. When we don't see any return at all, it's not weakness that makes us lose steam. It's biology. Our brains are wired to look for feedback. Now, add another layer to this. Not everyone is motivated by the same things. Some people are motivated by personal growth, others by competition, others by connection, recognition, creativity, structure, or novelty. If you're trying to motivate yourself with the wrong fuel, burnout is almost guaranteed. Sometimes we don't give up because the goal is wrong. We give up because we're trying to pursue it in a way that doesn't match how we're wired. Let's slow this down and sit with it for a moment. I want you to think about something in your life right now that feels stuck. Not necessarily something you've quit, but something that's been hovering in the background. A goal you keep revisiting, a change you keep thinking about, a project that's been paused longer than you intended. Now, instead of asking, why haven't I done this yet? I want you to ask a different question. How am I thinking about this? Are you thinking in all or nothing terms? If it works, it has to work big. If it fails, it's a waste. If you can't give it everything, it's not worth doing at all. That kind of thinking sounds decisive, but it often leads to one thing: inaction. Because when the stakes feel that high, starting feels risky. And so we wait. We plan. We think. We research. We rehearse. But we don't move. Now ask yourself this. What am I waiting for before I take the next step? More clarity? Confidence? Time? More proof that it works? And here's the honest follow-up. Has waiting actually brought me closer to action? Or has it just kept me safe from disappointment? there's a big difference between being thoughtful and being stalled. Now let's look at how this connects to giving in versus giving up. Sometimes we tell ourselves we haven't quit because technically we haven't. The idea is still there. The intention is still there. But we also aren't doing anything to move it forward. That's not perseverance. That's limbo. And limbo slowly drains momentum. Here's another place to check yourself. When something doesn't work the first time, what do you do next? Do you immediately question the entire goal? Do you tell yourself this is the proof you needed that you're not cut out for it? Or do you assume the approach needs adjustment? If your default response to friction is self-judgment instead of curiosity, you'll stop experimenting. And when experimentation stops, progress stops too. Now let's connect this to motivation. Think about what actually keeps you engaged over time. Do you need to see progress, even small progress, to stay invested? Do you thrive on encouragement or external feedback? Do you stay motivated by learning something new or by competing with yourself or others? If your motivation style requires feedback, but you've set things up so that the only feedback is a final win or loss, you're setting yourself up to lose steam. That's where the getting skunked too many times idea really matters. When there's no visible progress, no evidence that effort is doing anything, even the most disciplined people start to disengage. Not because they're weak, but because they're human. So here's the big question I want you to sit with. Is my lack of action about laziness or fear? Or is it about how I'm framing the effort and the outcome? What would change if I treated this like an experiment instead of a test of my worth? If you allowed yourself to take one imperfect step just to gather information, what might you learn? Sometimes the most important shift isn't deciding whether to quit or push harder. It's deciding to move differently. And that choice alone can bring the magic back. So once you start noticing how your thinking is affecting your action or your lack of action, the question becomes, what do you do with that awareness? This is where we often make things harder than they need to be. We think the solution has to be big, decisive, and final. Like we either recommit with full force or walk away completely. That's what I'm talking about. Real movement usually starts much smaller than that. The first shift is redefining what trying actually means. Trying doesn't have to mean giving something everything you have. It can mean giving it just enough to learn something new. Instead of asking, am I all in or out? Try asking, what's the smallest step I could take that would give me information? One conversation, one test run, 1 week instead of a lifetime commitment. That alone lowers the emotional stakes and makes action feel possible again. The second shift is changing how you respond when something doesn't work. This is critical. If every misstep turned into a character judgment, you'll stop taking risks. But if a misstep becomes data, you'll stay engaged. When something falls flat, instead of saying, well, that didn't work, try asking, what specifically didn't work and what might I adjust next time? That question keeps you in the game. The third shift is designing momentum on purpose. Momentum doesn't magically appear once you succeed. It's something you build by creating opportunities for feedback along the way. If you know you lose steam without progress, don't wait for the final outcome to feel encouraged. Look for signs of movement, effort that feels lighter, clarity you didn't have before. Skills you're developing even if the result isn't there yet. Those are wins too. And finally, give yourself permission to give in to reality without giving up on the goal. Giving in might look like slowing the pace, changing the method, letting go of how you thought it was supposed to unfold. That's not quitting, that's adapting. The people who keep going aren't the ones who never struggle. They're the ones who learn how to adjust without walking away from themselves. And when you do that, action stops feeling like a test you might fail and starts feeling like a conversation you're allowed to stay in. Remember the A side of the conversation? It's loud and familiar. It tells us that strength looks like pushing through, that commitment means staying the course no matter what, that if you slow down, change direction, or reconsider your approach, you must not have wanted it badly enough. That story gets a lot of praise, but it also leaves a lot of people exhausted. The A side is the familiar story we all know, but the B side, that's where the deeper tracks live. The B side tells us a different story about strength. It says that knowing when to adjust is not weakness, it's awareness. It says that staying engaged doesn't require constant force, it requires responsiveness. And it reminds us that resilience is not about never bending, but about bending without breaking. And here's where this really matters. When we refuse to give in, we often end up giving up anyway. Not all at once, but slowly. We procrastinate. We disengage emotionally. We tell ourselves we're taking a break, but deep down, we're avoiding the discomfort of trying again. The irony is that the very rigidity we call discipline can be what drains the magic. Giving in, when done with intention, actually keeps you in the game. It allows you to recalibrate, to preserve energy, to learn what's working and what's not, without attaching your worth to the outcome. The B side also invites us to consider this. Sometimes what needs to change isn't the goal. It's the story we're telling ourselves about what it means to pursue it. If success is only acceptable when it looks a certain way, you'll exhaust yourself trying to force that version into existence. But if success includes learning, adapting, and staying curious, you create room to keep it going. Giving in is not surrendering the dream. It's surrendering the ego that insists it has to unfold a certain way. And when you let go of that, something shifts. Effort feels lighter, failure feels informative instead of final, and momentum has space to return. That's the B side. Less dramatic, more sustainable, and often far more powerful. There's a story about a woman who decided she was going to learn to sail. She bought the books, she watched the videos, She imagined what it would feel like to be out on the water, confident and capable, steering her own boat. But the first few times she went out, the wind didn't cooperate. The sails tangled. The boat didn't move the way she expected. Each trip ended with frustration. So she did what a lot of us do. She told herself she just needed to try harder. She pulled tighter. She pushed more aggressively against the wind. And the harder she fought it, the more exhausting the experience became. Eventually, she stopped going out altogether. Not because she didn't want to sail anymore, but because the effort felt defeating. One day, she talked to someone who had been sailing for years. After listening for a while, they said something simple. "You're not supposed to fight the wind. You're supposed to work with it." They showed her how to adjust the sails, how to change her angle, how to read the conditions instead of resisting them. The goal didn't change. She still wanted to sail, but the approach did. And suddenly, the experience felt lighter, more fluid, not perfect, but possible. That's often what giving in looks like. Not quitting the goal, but releasing the idea that force is the only way forward. Understanding that effort and effectiveness are not the same thing, and realizing that sometimes the most progress comes from learning how to move with what's in front of you instead against it. Giving up would have meant never getting back on the water. Giving in meant learning how to sail, and the distinction makes all the difference. Before we reflect together, I want to let you know there's a 5-day journaling companion available for this episode if you want to go deeper and really work this out over the course of the week. It's designed to help you explore the difference between giving up and giving in, one layer at a time, instead of trying to figure it all out in one setting. But for now, just take a moment and sit with these questions. One, where in my life am I treating adjustment as failure instead of information? What situation am I currently labeling as not working or unsuccessful? What might this experience be teaching me if I viewed it as feedback instead of a verdict? Two, what is one approach I could modify rather than abandon altogether? What part of this effort feels most draining or ineffective right now? What small change could I make to test a different way forward? Three, how does my all or nothing thinking influence whether I take action or stay stuck? What thoughts show up when I feel pressure to get it right the first time? How might my willingness to act change if progress counted more than perfection? You don't need perfect answers here. Even noticing how you respond to these questions can open up space for a different way forward. As we bring this conversation to a close, I want to leave you with a few steady reminders. giving in and giving up are not the same thing. Giving up is walking away from yourself. Giving in is listening to reality and responding with intention. So much of our frustration comes from all or nothing thinking. When we believe something has to work perfectly or not at all, we rob ourselves of the learning, adjustment, and momentum that happen in between. Momentum matters. Feedback matters. Seeing even small signs of movement helps keep the magic alive. That doesn't mean chasing constant wins. It means staying curious and engaged long enough to learn what actually works for you. And maybe the most important takeaway is this. You don't have to decide everything today. You don't have to prove anything. You just have to stay in the conversation with your life long enough to adjust, grow, and keep going. That middle space is the one between pushing through and walking away. And that's where real progress often lives. Before we close, let's do a little self-talk commitment that you can carry with you this week. Not affirmations you have to believe perfectly, but like gentle agreements you make with yourself as you go. You might not use all of these. Just notice which one catches your attention. Here's the first. This does not have to work perfectly for it to be worth my effort. So many of us stop because we think the outcome has to justify the energy. This commitment reminds us that learning, movement, and adjustment still count, even when the result is unclear. Here's another one. I'm allowed to change my approach without changing my commitment. This one is important. It separates flexibility from failure. You can stay devoted to the goal while being open about how you get there. Remember, adjusting is not quitting, it's responding. Here's a third. I do not need to decide everything today. This one is especially helpful if you feel pressure to figure it all out at once. You can take one step, gather information, and then decide the next step later. Staying in motion matters more than having a final answer. And this last one may be the most freeing. I am learning how I work, not proving what I'm worth. Listen to that one again if you need to. I am learning how I work, not proving what I'm worth. This week, when you feel stuck between pushing harder and walking away, come back to one of these commitments. Let it guide you how to speak to yourself in the middle space. Because how you talk to yourself while you're figuring things out often determines whether you keep going or quietly disengage. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Check out the show notes for the 5-day journaling companion and follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you. Notice where you're forcing an all or nothing decision in your life right now. Instead of pushing harder or walking away, try giving in just enough to adjust your approach and gather information. Stay engaged, stay curious, and let progress, not perfection, guide your next step. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, how I wound up here. All I needed was a rock that I could lean on. All you needed was some wind beneath your wings. We might be seeing things from different points of view, but that don't mean a thing. You and I, we were meant to be. I was made for you, you were made for me. So let it happen naturally. Things will work out fine, just you wait and see. Star out, but it was shining bright.